Being Green is brought to you by Galinda Moser of RE/MAX Living.
Hello, I'm Glynis Crook. Conservationists are questioning Namibia's plan to cull over 700 wild animals, including hippos, impalas, wildebeest, zebras, and 83 elephants. The Environment Ministry says the plan is to distribute the meat to people struggling to feed their families amid one of the country's worst droughts in recent history. Namibia's Chamber of Environment supports the cull, arguing that nearly half of the population is in a state of food crisis, a situation which will worsen unless the rains come early this year. But critics suggest the plan is largely political, coming ahead of the November elections, that the logic is flawed, and question whether environmental impact assessments have been conducted. I'm joined now by wildlife investigative journalist and academic Adam Cruz. Thanks for joining me on the program. Adam, what are your thoughts about the plan?
Yeah, this was a very controversial plan. It, as you just said, the idea is to sort of alleviate hunger and poverty amidst a drought, and that is the reality. However, the exercise will only produce short-term minimal benefits to these communities that are scattered across mainly the north of the country. But it also sets a dangerous precedent on reliance on wildlife population to solve human problems. I mean, let's face it, the wildlife, especially in the northwest of Namibia, is collapsing. There isn't enough for wildlife to feed the people. So, you know, one has to question why they are doing this. This doesn't work in terms of an ecological perspective. It certainly doesn't work in terms of alleviating hunger. So that is why we think, okay, well, maybe this is a political move. And if you have a look, that all these areas where they are dishing out the meat, they are in areas traditionally against central government. So these are the marginal communities like the San, the Damara, the Caprivians up in the Zambezi region that do not tend to vote for central government. And so this might be a move to try and sort of garner some votes from there.
And Namibia, unfortunately, does have a reputation of knowing how to monetize their wildlife.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look, this is their modus operandi. I mean, as it is in Botswana and Zimbabwe and South Africa, is that, you know, wildlife is used to as a resource, something that you can sort of generate and alleviate poverty or create employment and things like that. But it doesn't work. I mean, we've already seen in Namibia wildlife populations, particularly, you mentioned elephants, particularly elephants. In the northwest, the elephant population, the desert elephants have collapsed. There are only 62 individuals. They want to kill 21 of those individuals. That's going to wipe out that population of elephants.
I also believe in elephants in particular actually mourn if someone from their family is killed.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big moral issue here. I mean, you know, elephants are highly sentient animals, and killing elephants creates an untold impact on their social dynamics that lasts for generations because, you know, they have these great memories and everything. You know, just little things. You take out a bull elephant and then everything just gets disrupted. All the younger males don't know how because they always look up to the bull, the old bull. And or the old matriarch. And you take those out, you're messing up with the dynamics, and it actually breaks down their resilience, their own resilience in times of drought.
But having said that, there is a terrible drought. And apart from the elephants, a lot of these animals are in fenced national parks. There is surely a difficult situation for them within those parks finding grazing and water. What are the states of the animals in now? I mean, the drought must be affecting them.
Yeah, the drought is definitely affecting them. In national parks, not so much because, you know, there is water. They've got permanent water sources like in Etosha and things like that. But, you know, one has to kind of let nature decide. You know, in times of drought, you know, Namibia and Botswana and Zimbabwe decry that they have too many elephants, for example, or you know, there's a lot of human-elephant conflict, you know, and then they want to go and cull these animals. Well, you know, if there's a drought, let nature take care of it. And that's what happens. You know, they don't produce in times of drought. Elephants in particular don't produce offspring, and their population reduces naturally. So, you know, these are the kind of things that you've got. You've got to let the ecology do it, because by disrupting it the way they are doing, could see a collapse in the environment, and then we're going to see a disaster.
You said it's creating a dangerous precedent. You're speaking about a collapse in the environment. which is something I've read about as well. I believe Zimbabwe also plans to slaughter a whole lot of wild elephants. What are the other alternatives in a situation like this?
There are many other alternatives when it comes to elephants. I mean, and it's, these things have been rolled out all over the Southern Africa and East Africa, for example. Non-lethal management of elephants. You know, the Namibians are saying there's a lot of conflict with elephants. Well, there's conflict with elephants because humans have encroached into their habitat. So what you've got to do is kind of allow corridors, allow space for elephants. You can protect your crops with all sorts of methods, beehives, chili. I've seen it in Namibia where they strings of empty cans that rattle if an elephant touches it, and that scares the hell out of them. So, you know, there's so many ways and cheaper ways of doing this. And I mean, I get that, you know, there's this food element, but like I said at the beginning, this is not going to solve the hunger. This is just, you know, you're throwing a piece of meat in the direction of starving people. It's not going to fix the situation. It's not the solution.
And sadly, we have to end there. So much more to talk about on this topic. Thanks to Adam Cruz, a wildlife investigative journalist and academic. And that's it for this week. For me, Glynis Crook, take care and goodbye.
Being Green was brought to you by Galinda Moser of Remax Living.
For Galinda Moser, founder of Remax Living, life is all about people, their homes, the environment, and of course, music. Because of Galinda's passion for property, Remax Living has become the largest property office in Cape Town. When selling your home, email Galinda at remaxliving.co.za. As your trusted property partner, Remax Living is by far the best way to sell and buy real estate. Remax, the leaders in real estate.